Hello, everyone. My name is David Mitchell, 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th hour. Today is July the 16th, 2023. It's the 29th day of the 4th month, 2027. Here's our first service today, and a song entitled, We Have an Anchor That Keeps His Soul. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? When the clouds unfold their wings as strife, when the strong tides lift and the cable's strength, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us soul. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll, passing through the rock, this cannot move. Not eternity in the Savior's long. It just saves the moored till the storm withstands. Work is well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cable's passed from his heart to bind, then he found the blast through his strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps us soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Passing through the rock which cannot move, not eternity in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wife to stop or flow. We have an anchor that keeps us soul, if that is sure while the billows roll. Passing in the rough, which cannot move, run eternity in the Savior's love. It will surely hold in the floods of death, when the water's cold, chill or latest breath. When the rising tide, it can never fall. For a hope abides within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps us soul, and fast and sure while the billows roll. Passing through the rock, which cannot move, from eternity in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold in the dawning light, when gates of pearl our heart are bright, we shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore. With the storms all past forevermore, we have an anchor that keeps us soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Passing through the rock which cannot move, not eternity in the Savior's love.
Okay, one time of greetings, number 33, by the V.T. Harder, entitled, the sermon's entitled, The Dispersion, The Time, and The Deliverance. This is the text of address of V.T. Harder, March 22nd, 1947, and we're going to do it today. This afternoon we are to study Isaiah chapter 31 and 32. In these chapters we shall see the cause of Zion's captivity by the Gentiles, their time limit, and the typical Israel's deliverance. Isaiah 31:1-4. Woe unto them that go down into Egypt for the help, and stay on the horses and trust in the chariots, because they are many, and the horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of the Israel, neither seek the Assyrian, yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not the Yahweh. And their horses are flesh, and not the spirit. When the Yahshua shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fail, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. For thus hath the Yahshua spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when the multitude of the shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. And so shall the Assyrian of the host come down to fight for the Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. That's who we are, we're Mount Zion at the 12th hour. So it says, the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come unto him, and shall be gathered of the people be. Okay, it says, though the Yahshua, Yahweh, the Father, his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles, for this scripture shows that he will soon deliver it. Not only will he deliver his people and not Zion, but he will defend them too. Well, actually, this is Yahshua the Son in both cases. Let's read that again. Though the Yahshua permitted his ancient kingdom to be taken by the Gentiles, this scripture shows that he will soon deliver it. Not only will he deliver his people and Mount Zion, but he will defend them also. Isaiah 31:5-6. As birds fly, so shall Yahshua the host defend Jerusalem. So Yahshua is going to come down in his flying saucers with the 20,000 hosts. They're mentioned in Psalms, I believe, 67, in those flying saucers. He's going to defend Jerusalem, defending also, he will deliver Jerusalem. And passing over, he will preserve it. Okay, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Having now come unto the time of their deliverance, Yahshua is pleading with his people to turn unto him to reform. Isaiah 31:7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of the silver and his idols of the gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. To turn unto him, he explains, is to cast away every idol. Okay, if you're going to turn to him, you have to cast away every idol. When such great revival and reformation, okay, this is good, that takes place among Yahweh's people, he continues, Isaiah 31:8-9, then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall fly, or he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited, and he shall pass over unto his stronghold for the fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Assyrian, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in the Jerusalem. Because of the idolatry, the Assyrian, that's the Catholic Church today, was permitted to take Yahweh's ancient people and their present land. Well, that's what the Catholic Church has done today. They have taken Yahweh's people and take possession of the land today. The Vatican, the Pope, has come over to America and has taken over this whole country. Matter of fact, it's taken over the whole world. And certain it is that the Assyrian, the modern-day Babylonian Catholics, will control the land just so long as the Yahweh people continue in the idolatry. So we got to put down idolatry. We got to get rid of it. But just as soon as all idols are cast aside, yes, as soon as the great revival and reformation takes place in the hearts of the people, then the Assyrian, the Catholic Babylonian today, that's taking over all of the organized seven churches of Revelation chapter 1, verse 9-11, the Assyrian, the power that now rules them, shall certainly fall. And Yahweh's people shall just as certainly return, for the Assyrian, the Catholics, shall thus fall, not at the sword of a mighty man, and not of a mean man, but through the voice of the Yahshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down. That's Yahshua the Son. And shall the Assyrian, which would be the Catholic Church, that's promoting this here Trinity doctrine all over the world, forcing the Adventists to exchange this, accept their false Catholic Trinity doctrine, the three in one person of the Godhead, of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, which the Holy Ghost is not even a person, has even changed its name from that of the Holy Spirit. It's not even a person, but yet they call him a person, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Isaiah 32:1-8, behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in the judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, and the rivers of the water, and a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be of them, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken, for the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. For the vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity for the practicing of the hypocrisy, and for the uttering error against the Yahshua, for the making empty the soul of the hungry. And he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail, for the instruments also of the churl are evil. He devises wicked devices for the destroying of the poor with the lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by the liberal things shall he stand. That's what we have today, the liberal Democrats. Well, the liberal Republicans are one and the same. Turning again unto his ancient people, inspiration declared that though their kingdom was doomed to fail, yet one day a king shall reign in righteousness. But one day, that's the antipodal King David. That's a man king, raised up and born right here in this world. And princes shall rule in the judgment, that in that day a man shall be as an hiding place, as water in a dry place, and as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:2. That though the people were spiritually blind and could not see, yet there is a day of coming, and those who have eyes shall clearly see, and those who have ears shall plainly hear. That the heart of the rash shall then understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer be ready to speak plainly. That the vile person shall then be recognized as vile, and the churl shall no more be called bountiful. That the vile persons and hypocrites shall be known as those who speak error against Yahshua, and who endeavor for the cheating of the spiritually hungry and thirsty soul. But on the other hand, the churl will be seen to be those who devise wicked means by which to make the poor ever poor, Isaiah 32:7, Isaiah 32:9-14. Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, you careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, yet careless women, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the giving shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, you careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth up on your loins. They shall lament for the tents, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come the thorns and briars. Yea, upon all the houses of the joy and the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, for the multitudes of the city shall be left, for the forts and towers shall be for the dens forever, a joy of the wild asses, a pasture of the flocks. For the women here referred to are doubtless Aholah and Aholabah. Ezekiel 23. or the figurative names of the Judah and Israel. Here is described their dispersion among the Gentiles, the punishment which they were to bear, Isaiah 32:15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Here we are told that the people are to be among the Gentiles, and the land remain desolate until the Spirit be poured upon them from on high. Then will they return. We have now already seen the reason for the dispersion, and that the pouring of the Spirit marks the people's deliverance. Yes, then no longer will their land be in the captivity. No longer will their houses be desolate. Even the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted for a forest. There shall be then an abundant harvest of the souls. Isaiah 32:16-20. Then judges shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in the sure dwelling, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth through the feet of the ox and the ass. Now, what have we learned from these two chapters of the Isaiah? Actually, we have had a summary of this subject which the previous chapters treated. Now, even more vividly than before, we see that the ancient Israel's idolatry, it is idolatry, forced Yahweh to permit them to be ruled by the Assyrians. He is, however, well able to deliver them when his people hear his pleas and lay aside their idols. When they turn again unto the Yeshua, when this great revival and reformation, here that is again, called for in this chapter is finally effected, thus it is that through the voice of the Yeshua shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, Isaiah 30:31. Henceforth a king shall reign in the righteousness, then the vile persons and hypocrites shall be treated as such. In that day shall there be a great and glorious harvest of the souls. And now that we have plainly seen the time, the need, and the deliverance, let us, brother and sister, bring that day closer by the parting with all our idols and turning our hearts fully and unreservedly unto our Yahweh. That brings us to the end of number 33, Town of Reading, Volume 1. Okay, it says number 34, with Town of Reading, would be March 29, 1947, with the title of the sermon entitled The Spoilers. Spoils taken by the lame and the weak. And it says the prayer thought for that sermon, it says this afternoon we shall continue reading from the Mount of the Blessing. We shall take up where we left off last week on page 191. He says, but do not forget that in coming unto the Yahweh as a father, you acknowledge your relation unto him as a child. You not only trust his goodness, but in all things yield unto his will, knowing that his love is changeless. You give yourself to do his work. It was unto those whom he had bidden to seek first the kingdom of the Yahweh and his righteousness that the Yeshua gave a promise, ask and you shall receive. For the gifts of him who has all power in heaven and earth are in the store for the children of the Yahweh. Gifts so precious that they come unto us through the costly sacrifice of the Redeemer's blood. There it is right there, Redeemer's blood, Yahshua. Gifts that will satisfy the deepest craving of the heart. Gifts lasting as eternity will be received and enjoyed by all who will come unto the Yahweh as little children. Take the Yahweh's promises as your own. Plead them before him as his own words, and you will receive fullness of the joy. Let us pray for the realization that our relationship unto the Yahweh is as a child's relationship unto his parents, that we trust the Yahweh in all things as a child trusts his parents, that we know that if we give ourselves wholly to do his will and work, then we may ask and receive that he has in the store for us gifts to satisfy the deepest craving of the heart, gifts lasting as eternity. And that if we only go to him as little children and take him at his word, all these promises in his word shall be ours. End of a prayer talk. We're going to go now into our sermon. First, one time of greeting, number 34. The spoiler spoils taken by the lame and the weak. The subject is found in Isaiah 33. We shall begin our study with Isaiah 33:1. Woe unto thee that spoileth, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled. And when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. Taking into the consideration what follows in this chapter and in the next two chapters, for the chapters 34 and 35 are a part of the subject that is in the chapter 33, where it becomes clear that the one upon whom the woe is pronounced is the church preceding the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the day in which the sinners of the Mount Zion at the 11th hour, the Gilead sinner, shall perish, the day in which the repentant ones are given their reward, the day of the Yahshua's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of the Mount Zion, tribe of Judah, house of David, Isaiah 34:8, for the church. Now that the 12th hour is especially pointed out by the fact that, unlike the Old Testament Mount Zion, she has been spoiling, but has not been spoiled. That has been dealing treacherously, but she herself has not been so dealt with. For the inspiration, however, goes on to 4, I cast a reverse of this situation. For the church shall be spoiled and dealt with treacherously, for its faithful ones in the midst of her, however, shall find grace, for they plead, Isaiah 33:2. O Yahshua, be gracious unto us, for we have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of the trouble. And we're in a time of trouble. And Yahshua says that he stands up, Daniel 12:1. He says he stands up in a time of trouble to deliver his people, the saints. Okay, and for this verse shows that while the pronouncement of the woe, Isaiah 33:1, is being made, at the same time a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among the Yahweh's truth-seeking people, for they are praying, not for themselves alone, but for their brethren also, for they fully realize that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and their hope lies in the fact that they have waited for the Yahshua, for the Yahweh's power shall be felt throughout the earth, Isaiah 33:3. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. For this verse reveals that when the Yahweh manifests his power among the people, the world will feel the effects of it. Isaiah 33:4. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar as they were running to and fro of the locust shall he run upon them. For the spoils of which the church has acquired, he gathers as the gathering of the caterpillar. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 33:5. For the Yahshua is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with the judgment and righteousness. When these things take place, then the Zion, the church purified, will be filled with the judgment and righteousness. Moreover, Yahweh's faithful ones have this assurance. Isaiah 33:6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time, and strength of the salvation. The fear of the Yahshua is his treasure. But concerning their unrepentant mighty ones, inspiration declares, Isaiah 33:7, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without the ambassadors of the peace shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace, it says, rather than the day of the Yahweh, shall weep bitterly. Here we see that those who are proclaiming peace rather than the day of the Yahweh shall weep bitterly. I've already read that. Isaiah 33:8. For the highways lie waste, for the wayfaring man ceases. He hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. In the language of today, this verse would read, for the missionary roots lie waste. For the missionary himself ceases. He has broken his contract. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. Isaiah 33:9. For the earth mourneth and languishes. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. For this, for the nouns in this verse being profoundly figurative, and the time of the fulfillment yet future, we are unprepared to make any comment. Isaiah 33:10. Now will I arise, saith Yahshua. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. At the time that the the conditions are here described materialized, and it is that the Yeshua will arise and be exalted and lifted up. But under those that are of the fall, that are at the fall, he forewarns. Isaiah 33:11. Yet shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you, turning unto the sinners and hypocrites among his people, those upon whom the woe of the verse 1 is actually pronounced. Yahweh reveals that the fruit of their doing shall be chaff and stubble, that their own breath shall devour them as if it were fire. Moreover, concerning their followers, he hath, Isaiah 33:12, and the people shall be as the burnings of the lion, as the thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Having commenced his purifying work in the Mount Zion, the 12th hour, house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, he declares, Isaiah 33:13-14, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. For the sinners in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, or Mount Zion at the 11th hour, that was the one right before us, the house of David, was the house of Esau, brother Stevie Johnson, Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Kermit, Texas, Gilead Center, 1970-2003. It says, fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrite. That's who they were, a house full of hypocrites. Who among us shall deal with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? When the righteous judge rises to sift the people, then the hypocrites will not be boasting that they are just as good Christians as any. Neither will they be say anymore, we do not need more truth. Instead, fearfulness and surprise will overtake them. For the greatest and the most honorable questions will then be, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burnings? And here is the all-inclusive answer. Isaiah 33:15-17, for he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of the oppression, that shaketh his hands from the holding of the bribes, that stoppeth his ears from the hearing of the blood, and shutteth his eyes from the seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be as the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king and his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off, passing from this expression of the divine terror and scene of the beauty. They are next toe, Isaiah 33:18. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Terrifying indeed is the realization that those who are found without the wedding garment, among whom are those who hold the highest church offices, secretary and treasurer, are cast out to weep and gnash their teeth. But the remnant, those who are left, shall be exalted. Unto them the Yahshua says, Isaiah 33:19, thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. For the guests who pass the master's inspection are actually to be made great, that it is in the comprehension of a big speech, or be it in the understanding of a stammering tongue, none shall be greater than they. For the eyes of the faithful are next directed unto the city of the elder. Isaiah 33:20. Look upon the sign unto the city of our solemnities, for thine eyes shall see the Jerusalem as a quiet habitation, as a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. After the troublemakers have been removed, then the Yahweh's people will be seen to stand steadfast and sure, standing not even the slightest chance of ever being disturbed, and the saints shall be full of joy. Even now they exclaim, Isaiah 33:21-22, thus there the glorious Yahshua will be unto us a place of the broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with the oars, neither shall the gallant ship pass thereby. For the Yahshua is our judge, the Yahshua is our lawgiver, as Isaiah 49:10 prophesy. For the Yahshua is our king, he will save us. Okay, so I think that's the time of the trouble, Daniel 12:1-4. All these things shall be ours if we are but faithful unto the end. Again, addressing the church that are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, he declares, Isaiah 33:23. For their tackings are loose, they could not well strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then it is a prayer of a great spoil divided, the lame take the prey. For they that obey not the voice of the Yahshua are here forewarned that the day is at the hand when they will find themselves unable any longer for the gathering of the spoil. Then it is that the spoil shall be divided, and the land, as the seemingly weak and helpless, shall take the prey. Isaiah 33:24. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick, for the people that dwell therein shall be forgiven of their iniquity. Just think, in a little while, if we be faithful, no longer will any of us need to say, I am sick. Now to review a few of the high points of our study upon the unfaithful who are approaching the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Yahweh pronounces a curse, for the church is to be stripped of the spoil which she has acquired. That's the Seventh-day Adventist church. It's going to be stripped of all of her spoil that she has acquired. And she got some of the spoils of the Brunken family way back there, many years ago, over 50 years ago. For the church is to be stripped of the spoil which she has acquired, and is to be dealt with treacherously, just as she has dealt with others. Very obviously, at the time this pronouncement is made, a deep-rooted reformation, here's that reformation of this fifth group of laborers, the fifth movement for Israel since the coming out of Egypt, 1500 B.C. with the Moses at the first movement. We represent the fifth group of laborers. Matthew 20, verse 6, we represent the fifth group of laborers with the fifth movement, fifth and final movement for Israel. It says that very obviously at the time that the pronouncement is made, a deep-rooted reformation is taking place among the Yahweh's truth-seeking people, for they recognize the fact that they are approaching the time of the trouble, and they are reassured that the stability and strength of the salvation, and that is That is, their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua is their salvation, are to be found in the wisdom and knowledge and the spirit and in the truth for the day. For the fear of the Yahshua is to be their greatest treasure. When the Yahweh manifests his power among his people, even the world will feel their effects of it. For the missionary roots lie waste, the missionary himself ceases, and he regards no man. For the Yahweh reveals that the fruit of the sinners and the hypocrites among his people shall be chaff and stubble, for their only breath shall devour them, even as it were fire. Fearfulness and surprise shall overtake them. Then it is that Zion, the church purified, this is Mount Zion, to dwell there, the house of David, tribe of Judah, with Yahshua sitting upon the throne of David in his kingdom, which is called the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of David, is to be filled with the judgment and righteousness. For Yahweh is at that time to be exalted and lifted up, for his people who have walked uprightly shall be blessed with the divine terror, for their eyes shall see the King and his beauty, for the church shall be steadfast and sure, never to be disturbed, for the spoil which the denomination has acquired will be taken by the Lamb. That's who the house of David is. By the Yahweh's true people. That's the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, that has finally been set up as the rulers of this world. They shall be forgiven their iniquities, and their health shall be restored. There's that promise of our health is going to be restored. We need the health restored. Yes, the promise to you is sure. Thine health shall be a spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Yahshua shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58:8. If you will but give heed unto the solemn warning and remain faithful unto it. This is the end of our study of Timely Reading, Volume 1, Number 34. And we are in like about 8 minutes on this sermon to be finished out for the hour. We'll read the prayer thought for number 35, Timely Reading, Volume 1. Okay, it says, do you even so unto them? Our reading is found on the pages 92 and 3 of the Mount of Blessing. On the assurance of the love of Yahweh toward us, Yahshua enjoins love to one another. And one comprehensive principle covering all the relations of the human fellowship. The Jews had been concerned about what they should receive. The burden of their anxiety was to secure what they thought their due of the power and respect and service. But the Yahshua teaches that our anxiety should not be how much are we to receive, but how much can we give. For the standard of one's obligation unto the others is found in what we ourselves would regard as their obligation unto us. Everyone who has been made a steward of the manifold grace of the Yahweh is called upon for the imparting of the souls and the ignorance and darkness, and for the imparting unto the souls in the ignorance and darkness, even as were he in their place, he would desire them to impart unto him. so also with the gifts and blessings of this life, whatever you may possess above your fellows, places you in the debt unto that degree. We all who are less favored, what shall we pray for this afternoon, that we may imbibe the great principle of the golden rule and realize that our concern should not be as to how much we are to receive, but as to how much we can give. Let us pray for the understanding that the standard of our obligation unto others is found in what we personally would regard as their obligation unto us, and also that whatever we possess above our fellow man, to the degree that in debt unto those less favored. That's the end of the prayer. Thought for number 35. And the sermon for number 35 is Nations That See Edom Perish. Okay, that's the house of Esau, the first born of the twins of Esau and Jacob, unto Isaac and Rebekah. The desert bloom blossomed, and a highway unto Zion. And the text of address by the V.T. Hollis, Ministry of the Divinity, Seventh-day Adventist, April the 5th, 1947. It says, our subject for this afternoon is found in Isaiah 34 and 35. He said, last week you will recall we studied the 33rd chapter, the Yahshua's burden concerning the church as she approaches the time of the harvest. That would be in the last parabolic hour, the 12th, that we are in now, the time that the wheat is put into the barn and the tares burn, Matthew 13:30. For the time that the good fish are put into the vessel and the bad fish cast out, Matthew 13:47-49. As are those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 22:1-13. Continuing now into the 34th chapter, we there see that the Yahweh invites the nations of the world to draw near and to hear his mighty work of the refining. And that starts with Isaiah chapter 34:1-3. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is therein, for the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Yahshua is upon all the nations, and his fury upon all their armies, for he hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them unto the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Okay, this brings in verse 3. This hour contest is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Yahshua says, we have heard a joyful sound. Yahshua says, Yahshua says, spread the gladness all around. Yahshua says, Yahshua says, hear the news to every land, on the steeps and cross the way. On the tears of Yah's command, Yahshua says, Yahshua says, walk along the rolling tide, Yahshua says, Yahshua says, guilty sin is far and wide. Yes, we say, yes, we say. Sing ye highlands of the sea, echo back the ocean cave. Where shall keep its belly? Yes, we say, yes, we say. Sing above the Bible strife. Yes, we say, yes, we say. By a death and endless life. Yes, we say, yes, we say. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Yes, we say. Yes, we say. If the winds are mighty voice, yes, we say, yes, we say. Let the nations now rejoice, yes, we say, yes, we say. Shout salvation full and free, high hills and deepest caves. It's a song of victory. Yes, we say, yes, we say.